This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, Thunderbird Management Consulting, your host. And today we have the pleasure of bringing back on the show for a second time two individuals who we have a great relationship with here at KTEP, and that is the West Texas Region Chief for the Department of Public Safety, Joe Sanchez, and Media and Communications Lieutenant, Elizabeth Carter. Thank you both for coming back on the show with us.
Thank you for bringing us back.
You bet. We spoke when I ran into you at lunch a few weeks back, and first thing you said to me was, so much has happened between the last time we were on nearly 2 years ago and now. I said, well, let's fix it. Let's get that information out. And we have so much to talk about. But before we do, if you couldn't, just for a second or two, share with our listening audience, many of whom may not have heard your first interview, as to what your backgrounds are and your roles within DPS.
Okay. So this is going into my fifth year of being the region chief for the West Texas region. So what that means for my role is I cover 36 counties. We split up the state into seven regions. Our region, which El Paso is in, is the West Texas region, or what we call Region 4. So I'm responsible for oversight over the 36 counties that has to do anything with the Texas Department of Public Safety, which includes Highway Patrol, Criminal Investigations Division, Texas Rangers, our Aircraft Division, Crime Lab, Driver's License, and, you know, a few other divisions.
That's incredible. I'm just curious. Is our region the largest in the state?
Geographically, we are right below the Northwest Texas region, which is Lubbock and Amarillo. So they have a little bit more square mileage than we do, but it's between us and them.
I'll be darned. Well, that's pretty significant. Lieutenant?
Yes, I have served in this specific position since May of 2016. I've served 16 and a half years on the department. Been very blessed to be in this position. I currently cover 36 counties as well, which is the West Texas region, with myself and a team of four other PIOs. And we cover media relations as well as all the safety programs. We offer a lot of safety programs because we are the ones that educate and inform the public.
Thank you. So, big piece of ground.
Yes.
How do you normally, I mean, you have to travel to all these counties, correct? As part of your job?
At some point.
Yes, right. So, do you normally do you have to drive it? Do you fly it? Do you, combination of the two? That's a lot of ground, a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, it's a combination of the two. It just depends on what I have going on, you know, as far as meetings and operations and some. But there's been times where I have to go to Midland for something that day. I'll fly over there and then fly back. San Angelo, same thing.
Yeah.
A lot of times I try and incorporate, you know, the trips of I'm going to Austin for a region chief's meeting or a chief's meeting. You know, I'll make it a 2 day trip or 3 day trip, stop in Midland, stop in San Angelo, visit some of the offices. I always make it a point, especially if I see one of my guys on the side of the road on a traffic stop, to kind of roll up behind them, you know, just for officer safety, but then also to introduce myself and, you know, get to know my troopers.
That's great. That's good to know. So as we talked before we went on the air about the magnitude of your responsibilities and all the changes that have occurred, so maybe without further ado, we jump right in. You mentioned Operation Lone Star when we were talking before the show.
Yes.
If you could touch on that a little bit.
So last time that we spoke, Operation Lone Star, the state of Texas, you know, Texas Department of Public Safety, along with Texas Guard, were on the front lines of the border trying to help out with the mass migration that we had for those past 4 years. Since we last spoke, of course, you know, we got a new president in office. You heard. So since that time, you know, it's been President Trump's initiative to secure the border, which he did within, you know, months of him getting back into office. And so now we have Border Patrol, you know, Customs, you know, Homeland Security, along with the National Guard and Department of Defense out there now securing the border. So that relieved our personnel from being on the front lines. And so now we're back out doing patrols, but still assisting our federal partners in any capacity that has to do with border security.
And so pursuing that conversation, you talked about some of your top priorities. And among those, you mentioned to me increasing public safety, if you wouldn't mind
Sure.
Expanding on that a bit.
You know, during the time that we're working Operation Lone Star on the front lines, there was a lot of especially our rural communities that we had to neglect, you know, and kind of put off because we had to secure the border. So now we're getting back out into our rural communities, trying helping out with patrolling and also combating, you know, transnational crime. You know, part of that patrolling is to try and decrease accidents, you know, especially in the Midland Odessa area where we have a lot of heavy fracking going on right now. The oil industry is booming. You know, there's a lot of commercial traffic out there. You know, the infrastructure does not support the amount of industry that we have out there.
It absolutely does not. And I've had to drive through that Midland-Odessa area on numerous occasions on my way to North Texas, Denton area. Mm-hmm. And as you drive through those towns with all those semis, it gets your attention.
Oh, it does. It does. It's unbelievable. You know, and if you ever watch that TV series Landman, I don't know if you've seen it or not.
Oh, yeah.
With Billy Bob Thornton.
We're addicted to it.
That gives you a true perspective of what goes on in that area.
That's incredible. Yeah. As well as the issues you mentioned, the smuggling and the cartels. So there's that aspect of it as well. So have you noticed a positive impact since you've been able to spend more time in those so-called rural areas?
Right. And I'll say this, Midland Odessa is not part of that rural area, but
of course
it is an area or
it's
a district.
It's in the region.
Right. It's in the region, but it's a district that we haven't been able to patrol like we used to in the past. But I will tell you that with our increased traffic, especially on the commercial vehicle side, we make it a point monthly to do 2 to 5 day operations concentrating on commercial vehicles, which that has helped decrease accidents a lot in that area. Matter of fact, part of that was something that hit us pretty hard. Was a couple years ago, we had a trooper that was killed out in Odessa.
I remember.
You remember that. So, you know, that kind of drew the awareness of, you know what, we really need to get back and try and figure out how we can do patrolling operations at the same time securing our border. But now that we don't have that primary responsibility of securing the border, it makes it a lot easier to go back to patrol.
So what does that involve in terms of the semis and all that? What does that actually
involve? So what we do is we look at it from an analytical way. We look at our high threat areas or our hot spots where we have increased traffic accidents. And then what we do is we kind of surge that area with multiple troopers, you know, to concentrate on trying to go back out there and emphasize the importance of traffic law, you know, by pulling vehicles over, weighing trucks. We'll do inspection stations to weigh trucks and make sure that they're in compliance with DOT standards. So that sends a message. We also, out in the Mentone area in Loving County, we built a scale station out there. Well, I say we. Loving County built a scale station for us to be out there to be able to inspect all those trucks. If you've never been out to Loving County, which I guarantee you most of your audience has not, it's a total nightmare.
You.
It's a total nightmare when you go out there. It's amazing to see the industry working out there, but that's where all the fracking is going on right now is in that Delaware Basin.
Yeah, it's a balance between economic growth and all the pains that go along with it. And you just mentioned some of those pains,
right?
The increased traffic safety issues, mm-hmm. et cetera. So in addition to that, and you talked about so many different priorities, this is your cue, Lieutenant, increasing and re-engaging with the communities.
Yes, absolutely. That's our specialty. We love to go out there and educate the public, and we always encourage them to go through their local DPS office. We have PIO sergeants throughout the state, but specifically here in the West Texas region, we have a slew of different programs that are offered at no charge. It's more of coordinating a date and a time for one of our sergeants to come out and coordinate. I know in the Midland area, we have Sergeant Stephen Blanco. He works very well with the trucking industries and any organization out there when it comes to traffic safety. He's also on the coalition where they are actively combating and trying to prevent crashes from happening.
So PIO is a public information officer. The same thing they refer to them as in the military. Curiosity, though, if someone listening is representing an organization or a group and would be interested in having some kind of a presentation, how would they go about reaching out?
Yes, sir. So they can contact the local DPS office, say, here in El Paso, the one in San Angelo, or the one in Midland, and they will be directed to one of the PIO sergeants. Again, we have that dual responsibility of educating as well as funneling and filtering through requests. And, of course, we also encourage the troopers to come with us if they're available, because that gives them that exposure to their communities, and then they make more connections. But again, it's traffic safety, CRAZE, which is a civilian response to active shooter events. We do Stop the Bleed classes. We actually do that a lot. And again, it's no charge to the public.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. We didn't talk about this before we went on the air this time, but the last time you and I briefly spoke about your partnerships with the other law enforcement agencies across the southern border, which I think we're kind of unique in that regard, because I haven't spoken to anyone in leadership in any of those organizations that haven't sung the praises of the collaboration that all of you share with one another.
Right. So that's one of our key components right there, is having those relationships. And at the leadership level, you know, we make it a point to meet with each other on a regular basis. We don't hesitate to pick up the phone. We all know each other by first name basis. We all consider each other friends. I mean, to the point that when we get together, sometimes it's not just talking about business, but also talking about our personal lives. So we actually built friendships amongst leadership, which has trickled down all the way down to the line level. And it's unique when you see, like, when we have a DWI task force, right, and you look on a social media page, you know, and the sheriff's department might be leading the task force, but when you look at the arrest and the activity that's going on, you don't just see the sheriff's department, but you see the police department, you see the other police departments in the surrounding areas, you see us, you see Border Patrol. It's very unique. I mean, you have an incident, and it doesn't take long before you have every single member from every agency out there trying to help and take care of the problem. It's a relief. I think one of the biggest things that we always talk about as leaders is we're not concerned about how many people are going to show up. We're concerned about if we have too many people showing up and how are we going to manage that? Yeah, because, well, everybody wants to help.
That's a great problem to have, isn't it?
Yes, it
absolutely.
Is.
And so that actually segues into, because this is the boots on the ground part of our conversation. This is the relationship building and how that translates into better public safety, right?
Correct.
But now we want to talk about some of the technologies that you mentioned to us before we went on the air that are helping you do your jobs better. So whoever wants to take that, please.
I'll start off with it, and then I'll have Lieutenant Carter elaborate a little bit. But last time we spoke, we talked a lot about pursuits, right, and why that was happening, what was going on. Since then, we had talked about the technology that's out there. So we've actually started to deploy some of that technology. One of the things that Lieutenant Carter will talk about is the Grappler. And then the other thing is the Star Chaser. And so I'll have her touch on both of those items that we've installed in our units. And it's very unique because we're the only agency in this region that has those tools right now. The other agencies are looking into it. So we've actually been at the forefront in testing this equipment and actually deploying it and seeing the success of it.
Lieutenant.
So the Grappler, it's one of our newest tools that we're using. It's a specialized law enforcement tool that is going to safely stop pursuits. So basically, it's part of the police unit. It's installed. Obviously, our troopers, you've probably seen over time in the last few years, at least here in El Paso, that when we do a pursuit, you've probably heard of the stop sticks or the pit maneuver, which is the precision immobilization technique when they're trying to basically get the vehicle off track to where they can come to a stopping point. And usually when the trooper has the ability to do the pit maneuver, you have multiple officers or agents in the background waiting to apprehend said bad guy or suspect, right? So if that is unsuccessful for whatever reason, or it's not safe to do that, then they also have the option to do the Grappler deployment, which they will get up behind the vehicle and that netting will deploy from the front of their unit. It will basically grab a hold of that tire and it will stop the vehicle in place. So instead of it going on for long periods of time, we're trying to stop it safely.
That's good to hear. And I'm being a little bit humorous here for a second, but I don't think any of our listeners are criminals, but I could be wrong. And if you are and you're listening, pay attention because they're coming to get you, right? So continuing with discussing some of your initiatives, including your recruitment, where you all stand in terms of having enough officers, mm-hmm. please.
Yeah, so recruiting, we're actually doing a great job recruiting. We are actually up when it comes to recruiting as far as percentages. We just had a class graduate on the 20th, and we had 122 graduate. And just to kind of put it into perspective, we had over 1,600 applicants apply for that one school. And only
1,600 and 122 graduated.
Correct.
So you were definitely screening them well.
Absolutely. It's very competitive. We also encourage those that are interested to connect with the DPS recruiter because they will set them up when it comes to preparation for their testing, whether it's physical or their written test. Because when they come on and they apply, they are going to be expected to show up to a local track, run a mile and a half, and then have a 30-minute rest period, and then they will do what's called the 4-minute rower machine test, and that's very exhausting. It's going to exhaust your upper and lower extremities.
I like that. I wish we did that in more other areas of our community, right? To get our folks a little better shape, as we just joked before we went on the air about someone breathing hard as mm-hmm. they came up the stairs, not mentioning any names. So in terms of your equipment, it's obviously going very well.
Yes.
So you have sufficient staffing, but you're continuing to try and grow it so that you can backfill as troopers retire when they're eligible, mm-hmm. right?
And I do want to mention that, of course, you have to be 21 by the time you graduate our academy. It's held in Austin. And we absolutely welcome our veterans. We do not have an age limit. So that's very important to note. I do get asked that quite often.
You don't have an age limit.
No age limit.
So theoretically, I could apply.
Yes. Absolutely.
As long as you can pass all the tests, then you're good to go.
And then we really have a reason to be frightened, wouldn't we? Okay, fair enough. So other initiatives that you want to talk about that you mentioned before we went on the air?
Yes. So obviously we have safety topics each month that we cover. This month is actually pretty busy. It's National Distracted Driving Awareness. So obviously we really want to encourage people to limit the distractions in their vehicle. It's very difficult to drive as it is right now. People don't see it as that, but it's a very difficult task. And we just encourage folks to put whatever distractions they have down, including the cell phone.
Especially the cell phone.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be, you'd think people were crazy as you're on the freeway, or I would, because you looked over and they were eating a hamburger while they were driving. That's like pales in comparison to mm-hmm. I just don't get how people would have their phone looking at it while they're driving.
Well, that's what happened with Trooper Kevin Dominguez Vasquez. Is he went out there to go help his partner in Odessa work an accident, and there was a lady that was on her cell phone, which we proved. Mm-hmm. You know, thank goodness to the Rangers and their investigative skills, proved that she was on her phone. And because she was on her phone, did not see the patrol car in front of her, hit the patrol car, which, you know, killed our trooper. And it's very important. I mean, people don't realize that. They want to read their phone. They want to get that last message out. But is it worth your life or somebody else's life?
And the answer is obviously no. Right. But it astounds me. Of course, there was a time, maybe the laws have changed. I can recall that at one point we had a statute statewide that prohibits the use of cell phones while driving. But I guess that thing went away, or they're just ignoring it completely.
I think it's just now it's the phone is the way we communicate, but there's ways to put it aside while you're driving. To me, if it's that important, maybe you need to pull over.
Yeah, pull over, mm-hmm. right? I get prompts on my screen all the time, text message, and I just ignore it. I mean, what am I going to do, read the text message while I'm driving? Yeah. I'm a bad enough driver as it is. So in the 10 minutes that we roughly have left, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about crime. And also wanted to talk a little bit about the future of DPS. So I want to make sure we have time for both of those.
Well, I'll talk about the future of the region. You know, one of the milestones we hit last year was finally securing land for the regional headquarters in El Paso. So that regional headquarters, again, represents the region of, you know, 36 counties. So what we don't have yet is the money for the building. We secured the land. But now we got to get the money for the building. And why that's important? You know, that's important for several reasons, but the number one importance is our crime lab. So currently our crime lab, that's made up of roughly about 25 scientists and chemists, they're in a small room trying to work all this evidence coming from the 9 different counties that they represent out of the El Paso crime lab. which also represents multiple agencies across those nine counties, to include sheriff's departments, police departments, El Paso Police Department, one of our primary customers. And it's very important that they're able to have the room and the equipment and the amount of personnel to process that evidence, because as you know, that evidence is very crucial in either showing proof of a crime, or it could be in another way, help relieve somebody that was potentially a suspect that wasn't actually involved in the crime. So it's very crucial to have that. So that's one of our priorities going into this session. You know, as far as, you know, regional perspective, you know, we're getting back out there and increasing our public safety, having that public safety and security, being out there, being visible, and you know, going back to investigating those transnational crimes. Protecting the home front and critical infrastructure has become very important, especially with what's going on currently in the world. We're taking extra precautions and making sure that our critical infrastructure is protected and secured, which means, you know, doing more investigations, more patrolling out in those areas, and constantly keeping up with intelligence and tracking down any type of information that's going on social media, which that we can also talk about, our iWatch.
Correct.
Please do.
So iWatch is a free option to utilize, but it's one more option the public can report illegal or suspicious activity. Like if you have someone posting something that is a threat to life, say on social media, or you have a stranger walking up asking about specifics on a infrastructure, on blueprints or exits and entrances, and something that seems very strange or off, that is another avenue that they can take to report suspicious activity. It could be on the website. There's also a number associated with that that I can share, as well as the app. They can just download the iWatch Texas app.
So when is iWatch EYE, or is it the personal pronoun I?
It's just a letter I, and then watch, and then Texas spelled out.
iWatch
Texas.
Texas, and that's an app you can get.
Correct.
And then they can just report suspicious activity.
Yes, and it's also noteworthy.
So if you see something, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
It's also noteworthy to know that it's anonymous. You can put your information, or you can do it anonymously.
That's really helpful information to share. And I think most people, maybe not everybody, are aware, especially with these personal devices we just spoke about. They're reading a lot of news information, and there's a lot of crazy things going on. And, of course, everybody thinks, well, El Paso, we're safe here. They have to worry in D.C., but it's you have all of our power system that mm-hmm. controls pretty much everything. What will we do without electricity, mm-hmm. right? Our water system, those are the kinds of infrastructure pieces, the gas system as well. Those are major infrastructure that have to be protected, not only for public safety, but also in order for us to operate our day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. In this day and age, there's just a lot of folks out there who spend way too much time online and envision themselves doing all sorts of strange things. So thank you for sharing that, Lieutenant. And then maybe some closing thoughts before we wrap up the show.
Closing thoughts? Well, hey, we're here to serve you all. Just want the audience to know that everything that our folks do every single day is with their best interest in mind. Looking at this career, law enforcement, that goes with us and any other agency, I think it's very important that the audience know that less than 1% of this population in this country is willing to put on a badge and carry a gun. And every day that they wake up in the morning is they're going out there to protect, and that's all they care about. They put their heart and soul into this job, and you know, if anything, always take time to, you know, thank our officers for what they do, because what they do is very big. You know, to want to get up there and say, hey, I'm willing to sacrifice my life for somebody else, man, that is a purpose and that is a blessing.
Thank you for saying that. That's a very profound statement that needs to be repeated, in my view, more and more often, especially in the age we're living in today. We've gone through all the politics, and we continue to go through all the politics of the border, and you know, whether you agree or disagree with whichever administration's in charge, and you know, our safety, etc. The reality of it is, you all in uniform, our service members in uniform, are doing what they must do in order to protect our freedoms, our safety as well. So that's my public announcement for the day, my little preaching, but thank you for saying that, sir. For those of you who tuned in maybe a moment or two late, we are interviewing today Joe Sanchez, who is the West Texas Region Chief for the Department of Public Safety, and Lieutenant Elizabeth Carter, Media and Communications Lieutenant for the DPS. Thank you both for being on the show. Thank you for all that you do for our community and for our region. We appreciate it. For our listening audience, by now you're accustomed to hearing me tell you, you are listening to KTEP, your local NPR station. We are a nonprofit, and we rely on the contributions, the donations, the generosity of our members. If you're already a member, thank you. If you are not yet a member, please consider making a pledge. Go on our website, ktep.org, click on the donate button, make a one-time contribution, or as I and many others are, sustaining members, make a pledge through your credit card or your bank account, have that amount deducted every month. And if you change your mind or your conditions change, you can adjust that number up or down as you feel convenient. Remember, we rely on your support, and we appreciate you listening to us every Saturday. Have a great Saturday afternoon.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.